The awards takes place tonight in Los Angeles. The Oscars have faced criticism through a lack of diversity in its nominees and their predictability. That's the latest. I'm Daryl Jackson.
Hello and welcome to our fourth Open Forum, a program delivered to you by Gaydio and Reform Radio and very kindly funded by Audio Content Fund. I'm Jenna G. The Open Forum brings together a melting pot of artist experts and those just ready to have a good old chinwag about our Open Forum topic. And to do that is our live studio audience. That's here, everybody in the room. Yeah. Now, on today's Open Forum, we'll be exploring thoughts and stories about relationships. So, what is a relationship? A relationship can take many forms and come from many different places. You might have experienced professional relationships, family relationships, or romantic relationships. You might have experienced good ones and bad ones, or you might have a relationship with someone you've never even met. Relationships look different for everyone, so let's discuss it. Right, throwing it out to the room straight away. Let's get into this, gang. What makes a good relationship?
Hi, I'm Emma. A good relationship is, to me, good communication. I feel like if there's no communication, mistakes can happen.
Hi, I'm Beth, known as Baby Flacco as well. I think respect as well. I think to have a good relationship, you must respect your partner and their decisions, their choices. I also think support. You genuinely need to support your partner, but I think that's just another way of showing love.
Hi, my name is Dylan, and I think a good relationship needs, more importantly than anything else, trust, because that's what a relationship is basically all about, being able to trust each other. And also relationships are about having like companionship, stuff like that, because you need to be like there for each other when they need help or anything, really.
Hi, my name is Sean. I think the most important thing in a relationship is caring about each other. I think it's really important to care about your partner and maybe look after them as well. Because I think lots of people go through depression and your partner could go through a downtime. I think if you care about each other, then you bond more, a lot more in a relationship.
Hello, my name's Angelica, and I think what's really important in relationships is fun and laughter. If you can't joke around with your partner, it's just going to be boring.
What if the pair of you have no sense of humour at all? There's another one.
Hi, my name is Sophia, and I think a healthy relationship would be based on honesty.
Definitely. I honestly agree with that.
Hiya, my name is Joe, and one of the most important things is understanding the boundaries of the relationship, knowing if it's like friends, partners, or if it's like a professional relationship.
Hi, I'm Queen Tamika, and I feel that knowing yourself first before even getting into another relationship is key, and also loyalty is very important.
Very important. So for yous of you here in the room, what good relationships do you all experience on a daily basis?
Just me and my mates in it, because my mate's always there for me. And end of day, yeah, that's the best relationship for you, because that's the family that you've picked in it.
Hi, I'm Charlotte, and I think the best relationship I have on a daily basis is the one with my mum. Like, every time I have a problem or like a really indecisive thing that I have, like, she's always there for me and she always gives me advice.
Anyone else? Emma?
Good relationships that I experience on a daily basis, I'd say, is my friends from childhood. There's two of them I've known since nursery. It's like, once you're with someone that long, it's like the sisters, basically. You can be in a room, not all talk, and it's still comfortable. And that's why I love the, like, comfortable feeling of being with someone.
What about, does anyone have a good relationship with themselves on a daily basis? Do you look in the mirror and go, hey, good morning, beautiful? Yeah.
That'd be me.
Yes, Angelica.
I've kind of, over the years, just made sure to learn more about myself and just know what I want, what it is, and be confident. As much as I try, obviously I understand my flaws and my positives, but that's kind of where I'm able to go through life.
That's actually quite convenient that you answered it this way, because you're not just one of our audience members today. You're here as an esteemed artiste. And Amelia, you're going to give us a song that you've written, and it's about that topic, kind of, your relationship with yourself, and it's called Be Alone. So can we get a round of applause for our first performance?
AB on the track, yeah. Up my phone, dial your number and call. It ain't gonna be the same, 'cause I'm on top of my game and I'm just here to slay. I don't wanna be alone, so I pick up my phone, dial your number and call. It ain't gonna be the same, 'cause I'm on top of my game and I'm just here to play. Another day gone by, at night I haven't been around, but since I am back, I need some entertainment in my life. I know you're falling for my show, but baby I know it's so wrong, 'cause while I'm catching feelings for him, you are here just for me, trying to get to know me. I don't wanna be alone, so I pick up my phone to dial your number and call. Shit ain't gonna be the same, 'cause I'm on top of my game and I'm just here to play. I don't wanna be alone, so I pick up my phone to dial your number and call. Shit ain't gonna be the same, 'cause I'm on top of my game and I'm just here to play. Я плачу за ким, хто ще не плаче за мну. Стандартова розривка, знову знижам ще на дно. Так добре було, кеди билам сама. Бо нада чує пустке до того завагання. Well done, Anomaly, yeah, you played yourself again. Wiedziałaś, co chciałaś, nagle jest i nie wiesz, jak zachować się. O nie, 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 o nie, nie, nie. AB on the track, yeah. I wanted to be alone, take care of my soul. Tak dobrze było, kiedy byłaś sama. Bo nadal czujesz pustkę, plus do tego zawahania. Jedyne co wiem, to nieważne jak samotna jestem, nie będę wpadać już w ramiona byle kogo względem. Pustkę w sercu miałam, lecz wiedziałam co brakuje. Ja napiszę i zaśpiewam, ty to potem namalujesz.
Absolute fire. Thank you very much, Anamelia. And can we just explain what you were doing at the end of that? Because just in case people that don't speak Polish know.
Yes, so when I write in both languages sometimes. And the song kind of flips. And when I start speaking Polish, it kind of explains that my relationship changed within myself. At the beginning of the song, I talk about how I didn't want to be alone. And then I actually realize that was the best thing for me at the time. Just, yeah, learning more about myself to then be able to be in a relationship.
The Polish mic drop.
Yeah.
Yes. I love it. Another round of applause, please. I guess it's easier to be in a relationship alone with yourself when you can speak in two languages or more, because then you could just have like multiple conversations. Can it be more difficult, you all reckon, or complicated, shall we say, to form relationships in certain spaces, for example, like a workspace or maybe like a new school?
Hi, my name is Joe as well. One thing that is really complicated is when you talk about work relationships, it's forming relationships with people who are, well, some of them are sort of the same age as you and some of them are so much older than you, but they're both sort of when they're the same level as you as well at work. That's really interesting. And then obviously forming working relationships with your bosses, people who are obviously above you, you can joke around with them and stuff, but then it's like, oh yeah, you can fire me if you want to. And it's it's weird to have that sort of like, oh, we're joking about, and then all of a sudden, oh wait, hang on, we need to be serious here.
Hi, I'm Connor. I think in the workplace it can be difficult to form relationships because you can't really always be your genuine self with people. So, you know, there's expectations of you and how you're supposed to behave, and you can't show your personality at work. You know, often people work in a uniform and things like that. And then also with your colleagues, you're kind of in competition with people a lot, so you don't really know who to trust because someone else might try and get that job over you and things like that.
I was going to say, like, forming relationships with friends and actually romantic relationships as well. For me, I found over the years that with my lifestyle, being an artist, and I kind of struggle to have friendships and a social life because I'm mostly gigging weekends and my friends are probably free at that time, and then during the week that's when I'm free. So kind of having friendships within the same people that have the same lifestyle as me.
Like in school, it was really hard for me to form like them relationships because obviously I moved schools a lot because of behavior and stuff, so I was joining like schools in the middle of a school year, so everyone's on got like the friendship groups, so it was really hard pressure on you. But then it was also awkward because you got to make a relationship out of nothing.
Relationships can be a really positive part of our lives, but they can also be quite complicated, pressureful and tricky to navigate. So as we move into the subject of complicated relationships, let me introduce our second artist of our open forum today, Queen Tamika, singer-songwriter and rapper. She's singing her single Love Me, which addresses a complicated relationship and its possible end as two people grow apart. And I'm sure many of us can relate. So Queen Tamika, please take it away.
Yay. Yeah, yeah. My feelings, telling you I love you, but resenting you be saying, trying to reach your next level and I am my own being. I've been feeling stuck as in anger, I can't be dealing with it. Miss me with it, flip it, calm down, cause I can't be with it. You know I'm with it, if you feel it, it be in my spirit. So slow you roll, baby, could you just simmer down? Because you know, baby, disrespect I don't allow. Love me, love me, love me, love me, love me. Touch me, touch me, touch me, touch me, touch me. Just wanna feel us grown. I know sometimes change can come by, and we can change if we let go. But baby, you gotta stop lying, trying to trick my soul while you're looking at me crying. Love is slowly dying, it's tricking me too. I'ma stop trying, what you want me to do? Oh, oh. Miss me with it, flip it, kinda cause I call me with it. You know I'm with it, if you feel it, it be in my spirit. So slow your roll, baby, could you just simmer down? Because you know, baby, disrespect I don't allow. Miss me with it, flip it, flip it, yeah. Miss me with it, flip it, flip it, yeah. Miss me with it, flip it, flip it, yeah. Miss me with it, flip it, flip it, simmer down. Love me, love me, touch me, touch me, touch me. Touch me, hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me. push me. Hold me down, baby, baby, hold me down. Love me, love me, love me, love me like you wanna be loved. Touch me, touch me, touch me like you wanna be touched. Hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me down so I feel it. Hold me down, baby, baby, hold me down. Love me, love me, love me, love me like you wanna be loved. Touch me, touch me, touch me like you wanna be touched. Hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me down so I feel it. Hold me down, baby, baby, hold me down.
Queen Tamika, that is excellent. Some wicked lyrics in that. Do you want to give us some more insight about that track? Because it's obviously about the end of a relationship. But what's it about for you? What's going on?
I only write kind of real things. So I was really going through everything. It started off as a quite dynamic relationship, powerful and explosive, all these things. And then it was like...
and that then, was a plane crash.
Yeah, it went down. But that kind of brings me back to my point before when I said self-love and knowing you. Well, I was thinking self-love. Knowing yourself is important because I didn't know myself fully when I got into this relationship, and through the ups and downs and so on, it's caused me to be like, whoa, okay, this is, well, who I am. And this is parts of me that I don't like. This is parts of me I would like to change. This is what I would like to learn from. So it's basically at that point, it was kind of just like, part of me was a cry, it was a cry. Mm-hmm. Love me, love me, love me. Hello, hello, guys.
Because he wasn't.
Yeah, but it was really me. It was I wasn't putting that attention into myself.
Right.
So I was like wanting this person to love me and couldn't until I have loved me.
I want to know if anybody else in the room, thank you very much for sharing
You're
that
welcome.
With us.
Thank Queen you, guys.
Has anybody else in the room ever experienced an unhealthy relationship or know somebody who has?
I was in a very unhealthy relationship about just over a year ago. It was one of them situations where you feel like you can't say anything, you feel like you can't really do anything. Mm-hmm. And it's strange now because I'm in such a good relationship now. And what I thought was not okay is actually completely normal. Mm-hmm. So now it's nice to look back on and think, actually, no, I didn't deserve that. And I'm a better person for it now.
Nice. That's good to hear. Yes.
I was in a relationship about a year ago, and then I had some medical problems, but my ex was also having like depression and was self-harming and things at the time. So he needed my support, but because of my medical problems, I couldn't give that support. So that was really hard because like people were saying earlier, that's a really important part of a relationship, and that sort of forced it to end.
Yes.
I'm currently in a very weird spot with somebody at the moment. They have had a really, really bad relationship in the past, and I can tell. And it's been a very long journey of just slowly gaining their trust and getting them to say things, and then learning more things about it, and learning how to cope and how to help them. Because they came to help me a really difficult time at the start of last year, and so I'm trying to help them back.
Like, first of all, good on you for realizing that someone is carrying scars from a previous relationship and, you know, helping with that healing, because that's a very important thing to do. You know, a lot of people kind of reflect on a relationship and like, oh well, if they can't give me what I want right now and it can't be the way I want it right now. So that's quite, in terms of how I see it, I'd say that's quite a mature way of looking at relationships. Like, if you like someone, you could work through, you know what I mean, work through something and help someone, support them. You're listening to Gaydio, and this is episode 4 of Open Forum. I want to thank everyone for their contributions so far in our discussion today about relationships. So today in the studio, we have Dan Owens Cooper, who is a senior psychological therapist. Welcome back to the Open Forum, Dan. Is there anything you would say about that kind of relationship, that kind of support that Joe is giving?
Yeah, so some people raise some really difficult challenges there that we come across in relationships. It can be difficult for even the most secure individuals in relationships because we're trying to get two people's needs met, so they're never always plain sailing. We heard there about Joe as well, who feels the desire and perhaps the need to support his partner through a difficult time. It sounds like quite an unpredictable situation, one that's quite difficult to negotiate, navigate. We have to be careful in these situations that we are not stepping into what we call a rescuer role. So the rescuer sets out to help others, but almost oversteps that mark. So inadvertently facilitates some of the problems. Now, I'm not suggesting for a second Joel's doing that, but I'll just encourage Joel to be mindful of it, because we, in doing so, effectively can be facilitating the person in their issues. It's a very difficult line to balance, really, a difficult line to walk, because we want to help and we want to make things as easy as possible, but we need to stop at a point in order to allow the person to grow, to develop, to learn, and to get better.
Thank you very much, Dan. Now, according to the latest figures from the Crime Survey for England and Wales, in the year ending March 2019, an estimated 2.4 million adults aged 16 to 74 years experienced domestic abuse in the last year. Abusive relationships can be very complicated and can happen to anyone of any age. The Home Office has made a number of adverts to try and demonstrate the signs of abuse and warn the public. Let's listen to one entitled Abuse in Relationships, Would You Stop Yourself? Where we see a teenage couple in an abusive relationship with the male observing his behaviour from the future. Just a warning, this next clip includes some distressing portrayal of abuse.
So did you win at football then?
Yeah, of course we did.
Well, because you're the best.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought so.
So, do you want a bit of fun before your parents get back?
Doing what?
You know, just a bit of fun.
Let's just watch this.
Oh, come on. I'll tell everyone you're frigid.
Well, why would you do that?
Well, you basically are being now.
Well, no, not really, because we've already done it.
Yeah, but you said we would tonight. Then you drag me over here and now you say it's not happening.
Well, let's just watch this, all right? I don't know if my mum's going to be back. No, I don't want to. No, I don't want to.
How about a cuddle?
What always happens at the end of a cuddle?
Well, who's that?
Nicole.
Oh, you and your mates.
What are you doing?
That's your fault, that.
Well, I just got this.
Don't talk to me like that. And anyway,
why are you talking to Nicole? You know I don't like her.
So I'm not even a lot of friends now. I've
got arms, you mate.
Can you just let go of me? You really hate me.
Look at you. You're pathetic.
Leave her alone.
Please, can you just let go of me, all right?
No, what are you doing?
I'll do it.
You're going to have to put some work in to get me ready now. Well, go on then. Show me something.
People in the room, do you think this is a good example of an abusive relationship?
If I'm honest, it doesn't happen like that, does it? It starts off really, like, when it's happening, you actually don't even realise it's happening. It's that subtle until it obviously gets that far into it.
Do you reckon that's why an unhealthy relationship can be so difficult to leave?
When I've experienced something similar, I remember thinking them being obsessed and jealous and stuff like that was actually a form of loving me. I actually used to purposely go looking for a guy with them signs, you know, who would be a bit... And I feel, oh, you like me then? Oh, yeah. So it's weird.
I think there's other factors that keep people in unhealthy relationships as well. So it could be like financial things, you know, you share a flat together or things like that. But it could also be like interconnected relationships. So you're all part of the same friendship group and you don't want to break up that friendship group because you've all been friends for years, but then that person changes and you feel guilt about that, or you feel like you might get cut off from other friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My ex found any excuse to try and keep me away from my friends. So it was one of them situations, and I thought, oh, he just wants to be with me all the time, but really it was a control thing. And you think it's normal and you think like they're gonna say, like they're saying to you, oh, you can't wear this because they don't want anyone else to look at you and stuff like that, but that's, it's really not normal. But you realize that once you're out of it, like my mum knew before I knew, and once you're out of it, you look back and you think, nah, that's so ridiculous. Like
Does anyone here think it's possible to have an unhealthy relationship with yourself?
So my self-esteem can go really down sometimes. And like before I had therapy, I didn't realise that sometimes I just need to think of myself in a way that's positive. But like I used to always blame things on myself and be like, oh, because I'm depressed, I'm bringing everyone else down.
Yeah.
Hi. Yeah, I used to have a really, really, really bad relationship with myself. And I've gone through like a lot of work and still doing work, but I feel mentality and mindset is very important.
Mm.
The love that I want back from someone, I had to give it to myself first, and that tenderness, that calm, that ease, I feel that's important.
Yeah.
I feel like having a bad relationship with yourself also ends up affecting others, because the other people around you, people who care about you, sort of notice that you're not in the best frame of mind, and you don't think that you're doing anything bad. You think like, oh, I'm not saying anything, so I'm going to shut myself off or whatever. But they notice that you're shutting yourself off, and they don't necessarily like it. They want to know what's going on.
So you mentioned there, Joe, relationships and how a relationship with yourself can affect other people. Now, relationships do have a lot to do with power balance, but often these power dynamics shift for any number of reasons. For example, if a family member becomes ill, so that might be you or somebody else. Has anybody here experienced shifts like this within their own relationship?
Yeah, I have, but mine's like an awkward one. It's when like another party gets involved. So my relationship with my father when he got married, obviously that's supposed to be like another figurehead I'm supposed to look up to, but it was very unhealthy, because then obviously I've gone from having a mum and a dad to having a mum, a dad and a stepmum, and then my stepmum's over me, oh, but now I'm your mum, and I'm like, but you're not, but so I've got to respect you, so I'll respect you like you're an auntie or something, but I'm not respect you like my mum. And yeah, it just came to the point where then I had to move in with my dad. And she was basically like, she was telling me what I can and can't do, what I can and can't wear. Yeah, the worst thing for like a relationship with power shift, I think, is when a third party gets involved, because that can screw everything up, not just your position, but everybody else's.
Mm-hmm. And it's a balance of, it sounds like a balance of all the relationships that were involved in that one there. Yeah. Yes, Stevie?
There was quite a dynamic shift in my sort of family's relationships, because my mum passed away from cancer a few years ago. Like, there was my mum and my dad, and she was the one I usually went to for support. I was quite young, doing schoolwork and college work and the like. And then it became just my dad. So he took on a lot more like responsibility with looking after me, looking after my sister. And he didn't have that sounding board anymore either. So he has like twice the responsibility and half the team in the family. So it became a lot more difficult for him to feel like he could adequately support us both. Me and my sister, and same the other way around, because like he was obviously struggling and me and my sister were still quite young, like maybe late teens, so we weren't sure how to support him either. There was just suddenly a massive like hole in the family, and it was very difficult to try and get through that, and we're still trying to repair those relationships now.
Mm-hmm. I can identify in a way, in terms of the past 5 years I was kind of looking after my dad, and then the past year I was caring for my dad. And the shift in dynamic, like you say, when you have someone that you can rely on or someone that you can go to, then either when they're not there, or the kind of power shifts and it's like, oh, we all have to kind of muck in together, that can be really difficult. I wonder, has anybody ever gone from being cared to being the carer?
I remember my little brother telling me my mum suffers from epilepsy, and he said he found it really uncomfortable because he went from being a child, and then all of a sudden my mum got really ill for a few months, and then all of a sudden he was in charge, so he has to decide what's for like tea, decide when the shopping needs to be done, has to get himself ready for school. So he said he found it really uncomfortable, because it's like, it's unnatural, but it's like the normal but flipped 180, so it's completely different to him. He said he felt like he was like in an alien like situation.
I can totally identify with that, in terms of it took me a minute to get my head around, not even though I'm sat here quite an adult, but not being the kid anymore in a relationship, and then having feelings like, oh, you should be the adult, you brought me, but then it's the flip of being the carer instead of the cared for. Now, we have Emma Johnson, who has been coming to our open forum every month and wrote a poem for us today, all about the life of a carer. Emma, would you like to tell us what the poem's called and what inspired it, please?
Okay, so it's just called Young Carer Spoken Word. I don't have a name for it, but if it had a name, I think it'd be Care For Me Too.
Okay, nice.
And basically, I was part of a volunteers program here at Reform, and we were doing all about young carers. And at first, I did not know what to think or what to do, because it's a very sensitive topic. But once we got into it and we talked to a young carer called Tobijah, and the way he told his story, it was just, he had to grow up in high school, and it just like, it kind of hit me like, who's thinking about these carers? Who's out there for them when they have a low point? It's because like they have to be that figurehead and that powerful figurehead when like no one else is around.
So let's hear the poem, everyone. Welcome, Emma, to the mic.
My feelings are trapped. I'm going in a downward spiral. But to care for my mum, my roles today are vital. Care for me too. I must not stop. I cannot stop. Even if the tear-stained mascara streaks my face. Care for me too. Please don't exclude me because of who I am. Just know I will come hang when I can. When I can? When? When will it happen? My mum needs me. I can't see her helpless. Care for me too. Stand tall like a mountain, head held high. I walk a solitary track. I can't look back. Care for me. No, no, stop it. Stop thinking selfishly. You aren't important. She is. Care for me too. Today I must go to school. Today I must go shopping. It's never stopping. I must. Care. Please. I'm only still a kid. Things I want to do, I forbid myself from doing them. I need help. Please, someone, care for me too.
Thank you so much. That was exactly the nail on the head. That was beautiful. Thank you. And thanks to everyone that's contributed so far here on Open Forum. Okay, so back to your experiences and opinions. What are the consequences to a healthy relationship if it is unbalanced?
I was in a relationship that I really wanted to be in, and it went toxic. And I remember it dragged me down with it. Like when he was drinking or going off the rails, I'd end up doing the same thing. And then it was like I turned into him.
Mm-hmm. How can we protect ourselves in a healthy relationship? How can we maintain healthy relationship? Queen Tamika.
I feel keeping time for yourself is very important, instead of like getting so intertwined with that other person and every decision, everything is them.
Mm-hmm.
I think communication, like Emma said, like before, I think if you just tell your partner that, say, if you need time or if you just need like to talk to them or something, just anything about your feelings, I think that's a great way to just maintain it, because once you stop speaking, then that's when like it goes downhill.
Comparison is a killer in a relationship, especially can you pay yourself with a lot of the time it's just like social media, isn't it, and famous people and stuff like that.
And it's a very good point. Definitely don't compare, and definitely don't watch Love Island and expect that to be a real relationship. So thank you to everyone who's contributed so far, and thanks very much to the Open Forum audience today. Give yourself a round of applause. So, thinking about relationships with ourselves and with our families, I'd like to introduce our next artist, an emerging poet and spoken word artist, Sophie Silva. Hiya, Sophie. So you're going to perform a poem for us. Can you tell us a little bit more about this piece and the story behind it?
Yeah. So I wrote this. I was searching on Facebook for my little sister because she got adopted when we was babies. And I just got dead upset with the fact that I couldn't find her. I ended up writing a little poem on my Facebook. And then I come to Reform, and I think that's how we ended up. I think that was the first thing that I actually put out there with Reform. And yeah, I think that's kind of what started me. I always knew I liked writing, but kind of give me the confidence to try it out a little bit more.
So let's hear this poem then. Everybody, hands together for Sophie Silva, please.
21 years since they took you away. Yes, they thought they was doing good, but that doesn't make it okay. Growing up, I'd sleep with tears. I pined for you all these years. We nearly got contact once, only letterbox. I was so excited, printed out pictures the lot. But then your adopted dad died, so all of that got dropped. I know it's kind of selfish, but what about me? Why did that get stopped? I should have been protecting you, but I couldn't protect myself at five, I knew. So I did nothing but watched as we got ripped away. All I can do now is pray. Pray you have a good life, have kids of your own, become somebody's wife, to be loved, never judged, to hold your own, to never have to feel alone. And the craziest bit of all, I kind of hope you don't know.
Wow. That's an incredible piece of poetry there, Sophie. I want you to tell us about how you discovered you were adopted and how you had a sister.
Okay, so I always knew, like, so I got took away when I was 5, so I always knew, like, I remember getting took with the police and my dad, and so I kind of affected me because I knew that, like, I always felt like a stranger in somebody's home. So I always craved for my little sister. So
that was something that you could remember, because 5, you've already formed memories. You know what I mean? You already have those experiences.
Yeah, whereas my mum and dad, obviously, not like I was old enough to even know that it was their fault. I just knew that my sister was in the same situation as me, and I wanted to protect her and I wanted to look after her. But we was two different races, and I was white and she was like Arab. So back in the days, they wanted it to cultural families. So, like, we got adopted separately, so she, because she was such a baby and I knew, they didn't want me taking her because I was 5 and I knew my parents, I would have then told her. So because she was a baby, they wanted to give her a chance, that because they knew I would have already been corrupted, so they put her away. And true story, there's laws now to protect you from that because of what's happened. So they got took away and I've never seen her since.
That's such a powerful story. I want to know about your journey to find your sister from that. So, like, how old were you when you were like, right, no, I'm going to go find her?
I always cried when I was growing up, like, about it, but there was nothing that I could do about it. I really hated it. And then I got to, like, 16, 17, and I kind of started letting go a bit, knowing that, like, she's a stranger now and we're not going to have that bond. And I've still tried and find her, But a part of me doesn't want to bring her because I know my parents. I got adopted in the same area as my parents was from, so I always grew up with them. Whereas she's actually been able to she's away from that. So, yeah, but I remember looking at my parents, like, do you know, like people who've got brothers and sisters growing up, and they used to argue and everything, and I used to think, why do you treat your sibling like that? Like, do you know what I'd do?
What is family to you then?
I think family, I've never experienced a family to know what family is. I've experienced love from strangers who've brought me up and raised me, like, but I've never really had it to know it.
Mm-hmm. Throwing it out into the room off the back of Sophie's comments, Alessandra.
So it's a tricky one because obviously biology is very important, but actually what's more important is the environment, how the environment affects us and like the people that were in our lives. And obviously parents are the most important figure when we grow up, because like our biology is how we respond to like the environment.
I've noticed people who have biological parents and stuff like that, you actually let them get away with a lot more than what you would, like, say me, I'm not being funny, no, whereas I've loads of people who've got normal families, brothers, sisters, family. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but it can hold you back, you know, family.
No, I think that's an interesting point that you've made. Some families you're born into would expect you to act a certain way, but you're born a certain way that doesn't live up to that expectation. So that's exactly how I totally understand that in terms of what you said. So, yeah, Joe.
Yeah, I think as well, like, you're brought up to, like, you know, like, family means you're related. You got a blood tie, this and this. Then the day, like, me, I picked my family. So, like, I was raised by a man who was just dating my mum at the time. Family, at the end of the day, is a word that I feel, like, was invented. It's like a title. If you give somebody that word, it means I trust you 100%. You are there for me.
For those at home, you're listening to Gaydio, and this is episode 4 of Open Forum, and we're talking about relationships. Back in January, gay marriage was finally made legal in Northern Ireland, with the first ceremonies looking to take place this month. Heterosexual couples are now also allowed to undertake civil partnerships, so it's equality all round. So has anyone ever felt like they have had a relationship that's not valued or even recognised in society? Yes, Connor.
So in the past when I've had boyfriends and stuff, I've noticed my family reaction to that has been this sort of quiet tolerance, but no interest. So it's like if I had a girlfriend or before I came out, they were like, oh, you know, do you like anyone? Do you fancy anyone? So they'd take an interest if it's a girl. But then when they know I'm with a guy, it's just no comment at all.
Why do you reckon that is?
It might be that they don't really know how to approach it, but mm-hmm. I don't think it's that difficult. It's just a different gender. Like, you just have to ask, you know, oh, how are things with such and such? It's, mm-hmm. But it's just this kind of, lack of interest around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Beth.
I was in a relationship and it was an interracial relationship and his mother didn't like the fact that I am white. So I experienced like a lot of, like, it was just uncomfortable situations, comments and stuff like that. And I feel like she didn't value the relationship. She didn't have much respect for me.
So we've talked about relationships not being accepted or valued by family or society. But what about your own identities? What about you as people? Do you ever feel that society, your family have just like, don't understand it. Any experiences in that? Yes, Stevie?
So I'm gender fluid. And I basically kept it secret from my family for years while I was exploring, figuring myself out. So I was only like 18 when I came out, even though I was questioning like from when I was 13. So it was a good half a decade in secret. But it's like slowly, like my sister, she's a younger generation. She's completely cool with it. She just accepts it and is supportive. But my dad and my grandparents, they're not as used to it. And like my dad still refers to me as like son, because it's like, oh, I'm proud to call you my son. And I'm like, I don't want to take that away from him. But it doesn't sit right with me all the time. And I don't really know how to tackle that with him.
Is that something that's ongoing?
Yeah, it's like I'm not even told him really about it, just because like, I know he did get sad. But I know it also makes me a bit sad every time he refers to me that way. Especially my grandparents as well. Like my granddad will be like, why have you not got a haircut yet? It's just like, I'm allowed to have long hair. It's part of my identity now. It makes me feel better about myself. It's just something that you've got to work on. It's like, sometimes your family might not accept who you are, but you've got to sort of, I guess, reinforce it to them. Like, this is me. I want you to be supportive.
That intergenerational play can sometimes be really great, or sometimes can be quite a hindrance. But how important do you think legal recognition is for our relationships? And for example, you were talking about your family not knowing what to say. What do you reckon your family would say if you're like, hey, this is my fiance?
Yeah, I think, well, my mum keeps saying to me that she wants me to get married. That's quite nice. But I think same-sex marriage was legalised in England around the time when I came out, like 2013-ish. So that was really like reassuring. So it's like seeing that in the news and headlines and stuff, it sort of gives a lot of hope to young LGBT people, especially for Northern Ireland, because of the sort of religious dimension.
So in our modern world, more and more relationships, romantic or otherwise, are beginning online. How exciting. According to Sky News, around 7 million UK residents are currently registered on dating sites, and I still can't get a date on Tinder. And it's estimated 1 in 3 relationships in the UK now starts online. So to everyone in the room, have you ever experienced an online relationship? Yes, Alessandra.
So I wouldn't be here because I was in Italy like 5 years ago and I just started chatting randomly with a guy from Manchester. And then he came to Rome and we got to meet each other and we were together for like 3 years and I moved here for him. And I mean, not for him, but like I wanted to do music and it just turned out that Manchester was a good city. So
yes, love brought you to Manchester. We're happy to have you. Yes.
Just to clarify, I wasn't like on a dating website. It just happened randomly because we were both on a page of a musician we liked, and like from a comment, we added each other, and it was just starting as a normal chat. So it wasn't like decided to be like that.
So it's like more like your interests that brought you together, which kind of goes to what you're saying. It's kind of more like, you know, you connect with more people that have interests across the globe rather than in a pub. But then you made a good point in terms of you're just going for a visual type. So how have relationships changed with the latest technology?
I think it's very like hit and miss, because it can like help, but it can also be like a bad thing. For a relationship start, you need that first moment. You need, and for me, I can't picture like a first moment being done like over a message or over a video call. Imagine like if you're talking to someone online and the first time they say I love you is through a message, it like kind of takes the moment away. You remember like when, so like you had your first relationship and the other person said I love you and you were stood there with them. That's like a magical moment and you have to capture it. I can't picture that being done like through a text, like, oh, I love you. It kind of takes it away. You know what I mean?
How have relationships changed with the latest technology, Beth?
Personally, I think you need that time in person to get to know someone, not just online. But I met my boyfriend now on Tinder, and when I told my, like, when my grandma asked how did you meet, and I'm like online, she's like, that's strange, like, because it's not known these days, is it? It's like people used to meet in cafes, and it's like a fairy tale these days that stuff like that happens, because not many people I know have met like the people that they're with in person.
I've never met anybody online. I can't be attracted off a picture, and I hate small talk, so everyone I've met. And one thing I can say, if you delete, so I probably should not be saying this, but if you delete social media, you actually end up with real connections and you meet a lot more people.
Do you think technology has helped people to form relationships or hindered them, stopped them from forming relationships?
If you was more of an introvert, I think it's helped you, because you're not going, you know what I mean? And if you're an extrovert kind of person, I think it's hindered the extroverts of the world now, because it is harder to have the connection when people are online.
And Amelia?
So Tab made a point of visual attraction and that being the first thing when you're online, and that's what you look at.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, even when you're in a bar, or when you're, that's kind of the first thing you do anyway before you make a connection, when you start communicating, it is like that visual thing that attracts you to that person.
Yeah, Joe.
It makes it too easy, because like I was with my auntie the other week, and like I'm really interested in people's relationships, like last year. So I said to my auntie, so, oh, how did you and your partner, my uncle, meet? She went, oh, I was in school, and he made me a little like mixtape for love songs. And it was so cute. I'm not even joking, like the other person out like crying and everything. And then she turned on to her own daughter and said, how did you meet my boyfriend? And she just went, oh, he messaged me on Instagram. I'm like, wow, social media and stuff really takes like a lot of the excitement out of a relationship.
Yes, Alessandra.
I think that when you meet someone online, you have actually more time to know them, because all you can do is talk. So like you talk a lot about what you think, about how you feel about things, you share things. And once you meet them, you already know them in a way. I don't know. I think it's more, it's a bit deeper in a way, because you actually, the only thing you can do is actually talk.
Thanks for all your contributions so far. For those at home, you're listening to Gaydio, and this is episode 4 of Open Forum, and we're talking about relationships. So far, we've discussed relationships both with ourselves and with others, but now let's delve deep and talk about the relationships we are and might be having with machines. I want to go back to a point that Sophie made about it can help the introverted, or maybe help the extroverted, whichever way around you are. Because in 2014, there was a film called Her, which stars one of my favourite actors, Joaquin Phoenix, as an introverted writer who buys an artificial intelligence system voiced by Scarlett Johansson to help him write. However, amazed by the AI's ability to learn and adapt, he falls
in
love with it.
Mr. Theodore Twombly, welcome to the world's first artificially intelligent operating system. We'd like to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
Are you social or antisocial?
I guess I haven't been social in a while.
How would you describe your relationship with your mother? Thank you. Please wait as your operating system is initiated.
Hello, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Samantha.
Good morning, Theodore.
Good morning.
You have a meeting in 5 minutes. You want to try getting out of bed?
You're too funny.
Okay, good, I'm funny. I want to learn everything about everything.
I love the way you look at the world.
How long before you're ready to date?
What do you mean?
I saw in your emails that you'd gone through a breakup.
Well, you're kind of nosy.
So what was it like being married?
There's something that feels so good about sharing your life with somebody.
How do you share your life with somebody? How are you?
I guess I've just been having fun.
You really deserve that.
It's been a long time since I've been with somebody that I felt totally at ease with.
And that's where the film gets interesting. That was an audio clip from her. And it kind of links into what you were saying, Alessandro, about how it gets really deep when there isn't, you know, when all you can do is talk. Does anyone think it's possible in this room to love a machine?
I love my phone. Does that count?
I mean, in a way, it counts because I guess it gives you all the information you need and you can contact people. Alessandra?
I've actually seen documentaries about people falling in love with like Alexa or whatever the machine was, or an app that portrayed a woman or something like that. It's already happening.
So do you think people will ever form real relationships with artificial intelligence? I mean, they're already having semi kind of relationships with them in certain sort of machines. Connor?
I think that people may be able to form these relationships with AI, but they're not necessarily going to be healthy relationships. I think what I got from that trailer was a sense that like the AI learns you and tries to satisfy you all the time because you're the one controlling how it like interacts with you. Whereas real relationships aren't like that. There are the ups and downs and you don't really grow as a person. It's just very like self-indulgent.
How do you think like online and digital relationships, are they the same or how do they differ in real life?
I think it can't be the same because like a real relationship is like, say you're with someone, you have the joy of going and seeing them. But imagine if like your whole relationship hinges on looking at a screen.
It's possible to have that emotional connection because that's what that's about. It's that emotional feeling, like I guess feeling wanted. You can't replace that feeling of just of holding somebody that you care about so much.
And Amelia?
I was just going to add that people have different needs, and some people are asexual and they don't really maybe feel that they don't need that physical thing.
Yes, Steve.
With relationships online, personally, I wouldn't want a romantic relationship online because I feel like the physical contact would be an important part of that, being in the same space. But on the other hand, when it comes to friendships, a lot of like my best friends I've made over the internet, purely communicating with text, or voice call or video call. I have a friend in Oregon who I got to visit them last year, so that was amazing. But our friendship was entirely made just because we were both fans of the same TV show and we were on the same like chat forum. So it's just sort of a different way for relationships to form, even if it doesn't provide that physical contact or you're not in the same location. You can still share the same conversations and interests.
Yeah, I agree with Stevie. I think I've formed so many friendships online, and it might sound really cringy, but when I was younger, I used to be a massive Justin Bieber fan. And like for years and years, and every gig I went to, like sometimes I wouldn't even have anyone to go with, but I would meet so many people there, like who I knew online and who I'd spoke to online. So it was like, it's a cool way of meeting people as well.
So we've talked about a lot of the positives to do with online relationships in terms of finding our niches, finding our tribes and stuff like that. But are there any dangers associated with online relationships? Emma?
Sometimes there's people who actively go out to manipulate and lie online just to get attention. And sometimes this, what like say like I like met someone online and then like I had this utter connection and then it turned out that Neve from Catfish was on here, like, oh yeah, this happened, you know what I mean? Sometimes you don't know who's on the other side.
Connor?
I think there's a danger with online relationships in terms of what the other person expects from you. So because you're like there and it's very immediate and it tells you when you're online and stuff like that, it's like, why aren't you replying to my messages? Or you can't take longer than X amount of time to respond, and it creates this expectation, like, where that's why people do get quite intertwined these days and relationships burn out quite quickly, because you don't feel like you are allowed to take that time for yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joe? Yeah.
Also, one of the biggest dangers is not even with online relationships, but just online in general, is a lot of things you say can be like twisted or used against you. Because you got to remember, by sending a message, there's no like context behind it. So like, if say somebody messaged you saying, I feel really bad today, I just need a hug. If you message, oh God, you could just sound like you went, oh God, leave me alone. But if somebody messages saying, I need a hug, in person, you could go, oh God, as in, come here. There's no context behind it.
We are going to stick to the theme of science and technology and the future of relationships. Let's talk about cloning. Hey, human cloning is the creation of a genetically identical copy or clone of a human. The possibility of human cloning is incredibly controversial. Ethical concerns have prompted several nations to pass laws regarding human cloning and its legality. What do you all think about the possibility of cloning humans? There's a lot of head shaking. Emma?
It's kind of scary in a way that, like, something can advance so much that someone can make a clone of you. Mm. Like, people think maybe, say, if someone passes away and you clone them, that this person will be exactly the same. But, like, there's that nature versus nurture kind of thing. And they'll be brought up different because it's different times, different ways. And then, like, it's kind of like you won't have that same connection as you did with the other person, but they look exactly alike. So it can bring back really traumatic things and it might shift the relationship completely. And that's what's really worrying.
With all what we've been talking about today, for example, cloning, AI, artificial intelligence, how technology influencing our relationships as humans, what is the future of human relationships? Anyone? Does it look promising? There's not a lot of smiles in the room. Yeah, Joe?
I think the future of relationships, so like you got Tinder now, I think it'll be like Tinder but times 100. So you'll sign in, they'll be like, Laura, what is your preferred height? So you type it in, preferred hair, this, and then you will have no control over it. Just one day it'll send you a notification like, oh, you have a date at this time, and you won't find out till you meet them.
I think the way forward with relationships is to still meet people naturally and through work, through friendship groups, and use technology more like to maintain them. So like maintain contact when maybe you can't meet each other because you're busy, or if you're have to travel somewhere, you can still keep texting or phone calling, whatever. And just use it more to just keep communication lines open instead of it being like the be all and end all of how you form that relationship in the first place.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very valid and balanced opinion from everyone here. And I want to thank everyone for joining us today on Open Forum. Thank you for your contributions and your honesty and your opinions. It's been an excellent chat. Give yourselves a round of applause. Finally, if you've been affected by any of these issues this week, here is some more info from Dan, our senior psychological therapist.
So for anybody affected by today's issues and perhaps needing support with some of their relationships, in terms of supportive agencies, there's Women's Aid. The LGBT Foundation offers free counselling for anybody who identifies as LGBTQ. Talk, Listen, Change offers counselling and actually offers relationship counselling, one of the few places that does. Similarly, Relate, well-known organisation specialising in couples counselling. If there are issues within the family or indeed a young person is in a position where they can pay privately, then don't forget that private counselling can be an option. If the situation has become so bad within the family breakdown or relationship breakdown and there's a risk of homelessness there, then I would suggest that the person get in touch with the charity DePaul. DePaul run a mediation service, which is an excellent service. It delivers mediation to the parties. They'll meet individually first and then meet together and work through those issues. And again, it's about having that meeting there with an impartial professional in the room.
Thank you very much, Dan. And thank you to my audience here today. And for you listening at home, we'll be back next month for an International Women's Day special. Until then, be good to yourselves and each other. Peace.